hopefully your arm, hopefully the ice has been broken. And we can commence with the business portion of the meeting, which is the remaining 5 hours. We're going to be doing introductions in a different kind of way because for the resource allocation and service category accreditation summit, you have to declare a conflict of interest. So we will do first a round of intros from voting council members who will state their name and their conflict of interest. I'll get more into that in a bit. And after that, we will go to our three council members who are in the final stages of approval, then council staff, and then public. So a conflict of interest is a potential, and it's quite possible if you work for or on the board of an agency that is receiving Rhine-wide Part A funds or could potentially receive those funds. Again, this is if you have a relationship to an agency that is fiscal. So staff member within a program that is an HIV services program, staff member within a program that isn't but works for an agency that does receive that, or a board member. A board of directors member is different than an advisory board member. If you are a consumer or client or any other kind of advisory board member, you actually don't have a fiscal responsibility and potential liability for that agency. Therefore, you do not have a conflict of interest. We'll go over conflict of interest a little bit later, but your conflict of interest will be declared after you say your name. So I'll give an example. I'll use people out of the room now. So Eric Sutter works for Shanti. Shanti provides services within a range of service categories that include psychosocial support and medical case management. Therefore, if I was Eric Sutter, I would say, my name is Eric Sutter, my conflict of interest is psychosocial support and medical case management. You have a clue to what your conflict is on your actual placard. Government, representatives of government agencies are not considered as having a conflict of interest. You can choose to state if you decide you do have one, but the official definition of a government appointee is a person who does not have that fiscal responsibility or cannot gain from working at an agency that receives Rhine-wide Part A funds. Does anyone have any questions? If you have no conflict of interest, simply state your name. Darvin Sachdev, no conflict of interest. Does that make sense? All right, let's go around.
All right. So my name is Thomas Noble, government co-chair, no conflict of interest, gender pronoun, they.
Michelle Spence, conflict of interest, COP. She,
her. Oh, yeah. Rosito, no conflict of interest, he is.
Darvin Sachdev, no conflict of interest, she, hers. Jesse Murphy, my conflicts of interest are the members of the COE and mental health, and she, hers.
I'm Helen Lin, conflict of interest, COE, and I can't remember what it stands for.
Ambulatory care.
Lori Thomas, conflict of interest, COE, non-medical case management and housing.
Ron Hernandez, I have a conflict of interest, and it's E-K.
Ken Pearson, no conflict of interest.
No conflict of interest, E. Kim.
Dean Goodwin, government co-chair, no conflict of interest, he and his.
Ben Kamala, no conflict of interest, he and his.
TJ Miyaki, non-medical case management, housing, and emergency financial assistance. And my pronouns are he, his.
Ed Chitty, no conflict of interest, he, his.
Warren Allen, no conflict of interest. Sir, A.
Cesar Davis, no conflict of interest. Will not speak in this.
John Paul Soto, non-medical case management and housing. He has his.
Irma Parada, no conflict of interest. She, hers.
Hi, Bill Blue, no conflict of interest, he and his.
Mac Delmaker, no conflicts of interest, he and his.
Lee Jewell, no conflict, he, him, his.
Elaine Flores, no conflict of interest, she.
Chuck Adams, no conflict, he and his.
Thank you all. Now we'll go to those council members who are in the final stages of approval. He just mentioned your name and your pronouns.
Lily Coutel, she and her.
Antoine Matthews, he, him, and his.
Alexandra Andrews, she, her, hers.
Mark Molnar, council staff, he, him, his.
Melina Clark, council staff, she, her, hers.
Dave Jordan, council staff, he, him, his.
And now we'll go to members of public. Stephen Spadle, Beta.
Kevin Hunchmont, HHS.
Beth Mary, HHS, she, her, hers.
Wanda Vasquez, pronounced she, her.
Jansen.
Michelle Sobers, Jansen, she, her, hers.
All right, you can. If you can take a look at today's agenda. Any objections to approving the agenda as written? Seeing none, the agenda for today is approved. Please take a minute to review the draft minutes for the August 26th meeting. Any changes or updates or corrections to those minutes? Any objections to approving the minutes as written? Seeing none, the agenda is approved. Any announcements? Lord Thomas.
My apologies, and I have to leave early for the supervisors hearing at 1.
Thank you. Any other announcements? Any public comment? All right, so let's just jump right in. Today, of course, is a different kind of day, so we will not have our regular reports. There is a report, I think, that is on the table. Otherwise, we'll be going through various resource allocation agenda items. The bathrooms are currently in process, but you can still access them using a fob. The fob is on that table over there. Please make sure to return it to that table after you're done using it. All right. Any questions? No, so let's do a review of the legislative mandate. So of course, this is a merged council, so we provide advice around prevention funding, and we have a mandate around line microcardial funding. We also provide advisory thoughts on use of other funds, including San Francisco City General Fund and Part B Fund. So for today's purposes, we are a Ryan White Part A council. Make sense? Today's work will not be around prevention. All right, so those are our responsibilities. We'll go over some of these more in depth. We have to develop and implement policies and procedures. We did this, of course, at the beginning of the merge. It is important to point out that simply because we once did it, doesn't mean that any of those policies cannot be reviewed at any point at a later date. We have updated a couple different policies. Policies and bylaws are often under constant review, so just keep that in mind. Assess needs, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Comprehensive planning. Comprehensive planning is, of course, planning them both across and forward. So across in that you are hopefully working with other areas of services. And forward, of course, for forward planning. Our most recent comprehensive planning was within our roadmap work group. Hopefully there'll be more of that in the future as part of our responsibilities. We also help to ensure coordination with other Ryan White and HIV-related services. Of course, as a merged council, that's implicit in part of our merge. But we also do that by making sure we have different voices and different funding areas represented here around the table. That's why we have a multiplicity of government appointees from places like housing, mental health, etc. Assess the administrative mechanism. We'll review that a little bit later. Develop standards of care. We also will review. And then, of course, what we're here for today is to set priorities and allocate resources. And to provide guidance to the grantee, which, of course, is DPH, specifically HIV Health Services. Conflict of interest. That's what we just did. We have to define conflict of interest. Hopefully, successfully define that. Conflict of interest also comes up during votes. So, for example, if we had a vote on one specific service category in which you have a conflict of interest, you cannot vote on that. You must recuse. You're recusing because you have a conflict of interest. Does that make sense? Most of our votes, however, are not about a single service category. We often do votes, we mainly do votes, around the entire service array. In those situations, your recusal for your conflict of interest is assumed. Does that make sense? Any questions about conflict of interest? Planning Council support staff. Money is allocated out of the administrative percentage of our Rhinebeck Party Fund for Planning Council support. We support you, of course, administratively, with training, and also with our targeted needs assessment and a variety of other focus groups throughout the year. Assess needs. The council does this in multiple ways. We receive both quantitative and qualitative data regarding the state of HIV in the EMA. So, of course, with our quantitative data, we receive that in at least two ways, often more. We received that last month with our ARIES report. We will be receiving that later today as well with our EPI report. For qualitative data, we do that with our needs assessment, which does assess the actual life challenges of our consumers and services. Those two parts are two, they fit together. Important that you see one is providing context for the other, and vice versa. So assessing needs is something that leads directly, of course, to our decision-making process. Any questions about assessing needs? Moving on. We assess the efficiency of the administrative mechanism, which is HIV Health Services. We'll be doing that later this year, and it will be done by the end of the calendar year. This is a kind of a two-layer process. The first layer is we talk, by we, I mean council support staff. We talk to service providers and ask them how has DPH supported you as far as timely payment of invoices and other fiscal matters. The second layer is actually talking to those same service providers, to council members, as well as to DPH staff about, well, how is DPH supporting you as a council and as a provider? How is that relationship going? All of that is put into a report and put on our website. The last one done was the year before last by Ali Cohn, and this year will be done by Jason Williams and David Jordan. Any questions on this assessment for the grantee? All right, moving on. We develop standards of care and evaluate services. We haven't done this for a minute. But it is something that the council does in collaboration with DPH and other stakeholders. Those stakeholders can include service providers and consumers of services. The last time we did this was actually pre-merge. The Care Council reviewed each and every one of the service categories, went over all of the appropriate standards of care, as well as best practices if there weren't standards present, reviewed them all over the course of, I think, an entire year, and in the end determined that no changes were necessary. These standards can be reviewed and updated at any point the council determines, as long as it's done in collaboration with other stakeholders. Any questions about the role of this in the council business? All right, just moving along. Our main thing that we do is to set priorities and to allocate resources. A lot of what we do throughout the year is supposed to lead to this particular day. In some ways, make this an iterative process so that with each piece of information, you should be better equipped to actually be able to have a discussion at today's event, really. So that includes things around the needs assessment that you've received last month. You'll be receiving information about the actual services from HHS staff later today. That will include those two bullet points. The priority of the PLWH, of course, we also get that through the needs assessment as well as voice of here in this room. Making sure that Part 8 funds work well with other services like HIV prevention. Of course, this is part of our new mandate as a merged council. But it's also an expanded mandate, particularly with the recent work around the roadmap, to make sure that we are always trying to look at de-siloing different parts of care and creating sort of an open continuum. We're supposed to be looking at funding from other sources. In fact, we'll see today that the sources of funding that we're looking at will not just be Ryan White Part 8, it will include city general funds as well as parking. And of course, developing capacity for services in historically underserved communities. You'll see later in this slide deck that we do this a lot of it around our definitions of special populations. It is a mandate for us to always target historically underserved communities. Any questions? Moving on to 7525. It is a mandate of the legislation that 75% of our award go to core services. Core services are medical services or services that can be that are medically connected. Support services are those services that are not. However, we can apply and have done so for a waiver if we can justify that our service continuum is a strong one without the need to actually put all 75% within core services. Does that make sense? Reallocation is also part of our mandate. We don't do this every year. We did do this last year. A lot of times a reallocation will happen if new things come up, if there's new projects that come up, or if there have been certain service categories or agencies that have had reduced funding. There are different reasons why we might come back to the table and decide to do things differently than what we chose to do today, and that's okay. Any questions on that? So again, today as a Ryan White Part A council, not necessarily a prevention council, it's important to understand that you all are actually providing directives to the Department of Public Health on how to spend Ryan White Part A funds. Advisory directives when it comes to non-Ryan White Part A funds. I think the main thing that's to be aware of is that not only are we providing directives, we're only providing certain kinds of directives. And that's about funding for service categories. We actually cannot get involved with things around procurement. We can't get involved on the level of actual agencies. That's why we avoid using agency names and really try to use service category names instead. This is very important. Does this make sense to everyone? Great. Here is a little bit of a breakdown of funds and decision making. Federal government, of course, directly to the CEO. The CEO in San Francisco EMA is, of course, our mayor, currently Lynn DeBrie. As you'll see there, you'll see the planning council and the grantee are at the same level. And you'll also see that providers are not under the planning council. Make sense? Any questions? Again, to underline that these are two independent agencies, entities. Of course, we have a relationship, which is why we have multiple members of the staff of the grantee actually on the council. But we make sure that these are separate entities by not having, for example, co-chairs solely be made up of government. Make sense? A little snapshot of the different roles and responsibilities. Moving right along. Eligibility criteria. Of course, this is to be eligible for Ryan White Part A services. This is updated on an annual basis. Contingent on a certain percentage of the federal poverty level. See right there. This should be familiar with you if you've been on the council for a few months, because this was a motion earlier this year. We also look at two definitions. Severe need is the first. Again, poverty is also a defining factor, as well as active substance use or mental illness.
disabling diagnosis or symptomatic HIV diagnosis. Any questions? The other definition we always look at on an annual basis are special populations. Those are ones that have a unique and disproportionate barriers to care. Many of our centers of excellence are specifically tasked with supporting specific special populations. Any questions on what special populations are? All right, seeing none. This is when you approved this year's eligibility criteria and the current definitions for severe need and special populations. Any question at all as far as the first mandate for this Ryan White Part A? Anybody? Any questions? Any thoughts? How about a break? 10 minutes.